Good morning, and welcome to a special edition of A Vision for You. My name is Elaine B., and I am honored to be your moderator this morning. Today is Sunday, November 9th, 2025. Here are the share IDs for Friday, November 7th. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study, the conference ID number is 22935. That's 22935. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study, it is 22936. That's 22936. This morning, A Vision for You presents Going Through, Not Around. What step are you on? When we find ourselves caught in the trap of compulsive overeating, seeking ease and comfort in bowls and bags and boxes and more, we get caught in the trap of false evidence appearing real. The brief ah of the hit quickly goes to the disease of more, 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 or in the case of anorexia, less, less, less. But it all fails to bring us the lasting ease and comfort we desire. When we admit our powerlessness and find the willingness to work these life-changing 12 steps one day at a time, the power of fear, false evidence appearing real, turns to freedom as we face everything and recover. But how? Here at A Vision for You, we discover that by studying, practicing, and applying the clear-cut instructions and good orderly directions found in the Big Book, we can experience the freedom we seek from compulsive overeating and so much more. Today's speaker, Karen Kay from New York, will draw quotes from both the doctor's opinion and Bill's story and bring them to life through her own personal experience, demonstrating the necessity of applying these steps in order to produce and maintain a spiritual awakening sufficient to overcome compulsive overeating. Welcome, Karen. Please share with us.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. Good morning, everybody. My name is Karen Kay from Syracuse, New York, and my credits don't transfer, and definitely a compulsive eater. When I was asked to share this, it was instant what the title needed to be. You know, going through, not around. What step are you on? What step are you on? It's easier to do this. My experience has been, I'm just kind of reflecting on a little bit when I first came into OA into like the past 6 weeks of my life, utilizing the program and the steps in my prayer life. It's much easier to go through and then avoiding, because when I'm avoiding and going around whatever it is, whether it's food, whether it's something stressful, I can ask my God to take my hand and guide me through, and it's just so much easier to do that, and then I can catch up with myself later. Every day I wake up with the empowerment. Some people that I've worked with or hear sometimes think of step 1, 2, and 3 as like, oh no, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. I wake up with the empowerment of steps 1, 2, and 3 every day. I have to be reminded I'm brought up with a new case of negative thinking. Some days, not every day, but it's very important that I invite my higher power in for that day. Also going around is there's no time for my higher power to get in there of my misunderstanding, because I think I know better than God, a God with a little G, so I start playing God. On XXV, the medical estimate of the plan of recovery described in this book, and getting returned to health. Now, what is that for me? It was for me, obviously, I mean, I'm just going to assume the food's down. I'm really not going to talk a lot about food and the disease cycle, because I think most of us know what that is. And if you're new, You know, it's basically the insanity of doing the same thing over and over, or trying, you know, something else. I basically, when I came in to OA, I ran out of ideas. My way wasn't working, and before that, I was doing the step 1, 1, 2, 3, thinking, you know, okay, I'm powerless, but the insanity, I can do it by myself. And then at some point during the day, I could surrender it and believe, and being that power greater than myself could help me, and to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. My daily routine, it's important, and I have a name for it that was given to me. It's called Top Lines. I need to have a daily routine of prayer and meditation, not just in the morning. And this is going through. This allows me to go through. What I do for a living is I do a lot of driving, and drivers are not always friendly. And if usually on my nightly review, I'll say, you know, was I kind to all? And I put no except for drivers. So I'm trying. I am a work in progress. And I say, you know, and I could be going through X, Y, Z, what it is, and I'm driving, and sometimes I use the radio, and sometimes I don't. And I ask God, I say, God, what step am I on? And He'll tell me, step 6 and 7, and this is character defects, and asking God to remove my shortcomings. Or sometimes it's making an outreach call and trying to reach out. But what's been going on lately, it's either feast or famine with outreach. Either I can get some people or there's nobody. It's interesting because I know I'm supposed to go through with my higher power more than anything else. And you're going to hear that a lot because that is the key to my sanity. I'm really talking more about that thought that precedes the first bite, that insanity that think that it's going to be different this time. And being service to others, you know, when I first came in, and it's very important for whoever's new, and I mean, whoever woke up earliest this morning has been sober the longest. That's how I look at all this. Is being able to be of service to others. So if someone has like 4 days, you know, clean without their food, and they hear on this vision meeting that someone's calling in for the first time, by all means, please get those numbers and welcome people. But after a certain amount of time in program, I need to be of service outside the rooms, you know, in my community. With my friends, taking care of my twin cats. My husband's and my twin cats. They actually look exactly alike. It's very cute. And you know, how am I going to show up for life? You know, I say that a lot. You know, how am I actually going to show up for how would my God have me be? What would be the idea? You know, friend, the idea wife, the idea worker, the idea business owner. And I need to pause a lot. And sometimes in my nightlies, when I send them to like 5 or 6 people, and a lot of what could be done differently is my pause. And usually when I do the pause, I don't do the pause, excuse me, is I'm trying to go around. I'm trying to avoid something that could be really scary or something I don't want to deal with. And having that relationship with myself and with my higher power, that needs to become first and foremost. In XXV, again, this supports us helping others, not just in the program. And also during the hot summer months and the cooler times here in Syracuse, we have a lot of homeless people. And so my husband and I, we get like a big box in our car, his car, my car. And in the wintertime, we get water, socks, and those, I can't think of them. What do you call them? But the peanut butter crackers and a dollar bill. And, you know, they could, those 30 paper bags could be like gone like within a day. And there's so many people. And that's being of service. You know, how would my God have me be? You know, I don't need to judge those people that, well, you should go get a job. And I don't know their story. And we all have a story. On XXVI, the doctor writes a long time moral psychology that would be needed. Again, that's using having that psychic change. You know, at some point, sometimes it can happen at step five, sometimes it can even happen before. Going through 10, 11, and 12, you know, making that, when I'm making that outreach call, I need to know what I'm going to do and what I'm going to be of service to others. And do I need to do I need to make an amends? When I do work with other people, we do start out at step 10, because that diffuses that urge or that thinking of picking up the food. They're able to work through that step, and they're more than welcome to tell you know, the people that they're calling, you know, I'm really kind of new at doing this. Could you please help me? And that allows them to get through that and to get through step one, two, and three work. And then it's like, I'm going to keep saying this a lot because it's so important. You know, what step am I on? How can I be of service to others? It's not always about me. Yeah, I'm thinking about what step am I on, but how is that going to transfer into someone else and my behavior towards someone else? I will never be, I'll never recover from being a human being. I think my experiences, I thought the steps were going to bring me to perfection and I was never going to hurt anybody again. And getting married has really showed me that that's totally not true. It's really allowed me to see many, many things that I need to change to become a better wife. And again, it shows up in steps 6 and 7. And when I work with others, I just really, I don't know how many, I don't know who's on here or not, it doesn't really matter. I really think it's important in being a sponsor that to not give my experience, I'm not telling you what to do, just my experience, to not give out advice or direction if it hasn't been my experience. Now, the reason why I say this is, you know, I sponsored a lot of women through COVID. And I had the audacity to say to them, well, just get your own drawer in the fridge and your own cupboard, and everything will be just fine. Well, I get married, and my husband brings his food in the house. I had no business, excuse me, no business giving people that sort of direction because it had not been my experience. What I needed to do was to reach out to my God squad who had a similar experience and have the person I was working with to call that person. So that was a hard lesson that I learned and still continue to learn. If someone that I'm working with and it's not my experience, and I know enough people actually have a SWAT team, paid and unpaid help, that allows me to, you know, service out to other people that can be directly contact with that person. And as time goes on, I've been making amends to those people that I had no business doing that. And that was really kind of going around. It really wasn't going through because it wasn't my experience. And you know, touching on that, you know, when I first got Envision, and in my home group, at the time, then obviously the groups all stopped. And that one young lady who told me, you know, your credits don't transfer, Karen. And I remember the day I said that on Vision and my phone blew up and they wanted to know what it meant and so on and so forth. And before you knew it, you know, during COVID, a lot of people were not working. They're working from their homes. And I believe in some ways this was me going around and me not taking a good look at Karen. I mean, I'm not being, this was an average, I was averaging between 30 and 45 calls a day. And I was not looking at myself. I was going around. And I definitely, I never wanted to be that person that stood out. And the level of phone calls I was getting, it really scared me because I didn't want to, I wanted to be in the middle of the herd, but I didn't know how. I mean, I knew how to do that in AA and other programs, but I didn't know how to do that in OA. And I really had worked very hard, obviously through prayer and meditation, to not to be that person. I don't want to be the person that, oh, that person knows blah, 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 or that person knows the big book really well, or that person knows that really well. I just want to be Karen, another compulsive eater. You know, I don't want to be, you know, the person that's sharing like two or three times a month. You know, there's so many. When I joined Vision, there were 9,000 people on that were signed up. Now there's over 13,000 people. And I would love to hear those voices. And some of the ladies that I would sponsor, they would share, well, I'm too scared to share because these people really know the big book well. I said, you have a voice too. Your voice is just as important as anybody else's. And that was, and that's when I started taking a step back. I did get a couple phone calls. Are you okay? I haven't heard you on the meeting, but you know, I was there, you know, sometimes it was work. I couldn't be on the meeting. But I was still working with other people. And in one spot of the big book, I'm going to, it talks about, you know, the all the promises that we get by going through. And that's on XXIX. And I've always believed in going through Bill's story. Well, Bill's story pretty much, you know, stays the same because he's not alive to change it. I'm sure it changed when he was sharing when he was alive. And I've always been a firm believer that I'm sure since the first special edition I did and now, it's not the same. If my story's not changing, if I'm still batting out the same example, people already know what just about what I'm going to say. I don't want to be that type of person that's being recovered. I want to be able to have something fresh experience. You know, obviously being newly married has changed my life. Being an owner of two cats, which is can be challenging if anybody has cats or older kittens. You know, I'm not going to change if my story doesn't change. And on page 3 in Bill's story, you know, he talks about, you know, I had arrived. Well, there were many times in the very beginning when I came into Vision, I had a whole world map on my wall and an AA friend suggested I just stick a little thumb needle, you know, and to see how many places that I was sponsoring. And that completely, that was all ego driven. I didn't see it at the time. It was to see how much I could accomplish. And then it was so wrong for me to do that with people. And, you know, me referring earlier, you know, how many calls I was getting a day. I mean, it was, I hope I helped people instead of hurting them because it's a lot to sponsor, you know, four or five people. I mean, for me to be really effective, you know, two or three is enough to be truly an effective a sponsor. When I do my business that I do, I have to make sure. I apologize for the noise. I should have put my water in a glass. I'm so sorry. You know, like things will happen that could be fearful. And I ask my God to take my hand, to go through it. And that future trip about, and that's going around, on what the possible outcome could be. And when I keep my head where my feet are and allow my God to direct me and use the words that my God wants me to use, I'm going to be very, very effective. If I get caught up into future tripping about what I think is going to happen, chances are it's going to affect the type of work that I do. And for the grace of God, that has not affected my business that I have. So I'm very, very grateful for that. And, you know, then again, what step am I on? Well, steps 1, 2, and 3 and 6 and 7, because I'm not, I see the character defect of, you know, self-centered fear. You know, I saw the shortcoming coming, step 7, and didn't ask God to remove it. Before you know it, I was in full-fledged fear. I don't believe, I only can speak for me, that I will never be removed from fear, anger, although in the big book it talks about it's a dubious luxury that I cannot afford. Well, that's true, but as long as I stay there for about 3 minutes, or I do a 10-step on it, or I pray for the person, or pray for the situation. What I've learned to do is the things of this world and the things in OA, outside of OA, is really out of my hands. When I'm working with another human being, I'm dealing with principalities that are beyond my control. All I have is my story. All I have is the step work that I've done. All I have is when I got married, I relapsed. And that's all I have, you know, and I can share my experience, strength, and hope. I can receive 10-step calls. I make outreach calls. I receive outreach. You know, we get, a God squad. You know, if I've got 5 really good people in my life, you know, that I can truly call a friend, but also that's not going to co-sign my you-know-what. That's good. I mean, it was great having people in Italy, Australia, Ireland, you know, because they're 5 hours ahead of their thinking than I am when I get up in the morning. That's always a good thing. But then again, in the morning, I would say my disease is most active when I first wake up. And I have to really get into some prayer and meditation and ask God for help. And if I don't do that, I'm going around it. If I don't do the chores around the house and go around it, you know, I am unmanageable, and things get worse, worse, and worse. And typically, right now, my husband, I'm not going to get into all the details of it. Basically, he had surgery this past Thursday, and he's going to be out of work for about 4 weeks. And that's just the initial to see if he's even going to be weight bearing on his foot. So I'm really leaning on God. What is the next right thing that I can do to be of service to him? I don't want to go around and avoid him because he's kind of miserable. And I think I would be, if I couldn't get out of bed, and there was a period of my life I couldn't get out of bed where I ruptured my Achilles, and I get it, you know, and just give him his space. Me go to my meetings, do my errands, do laundry, and allow him to settle into the fact that, you know, he's going to be there till November 21st. I mean, he can come out here in the living room, but it's that's going through. You know, I took vows when I got married, and I take them very, very seriously. So in sickness and in health. So here I am doing that part of life with him. And I just really cannot say enough. For me, when I first get up in the morning, that I really need to pray to God, and I need to listen to the still, quiet voice. I still need to be very quiet and listen. It was a necessity on page 4 of Bill's story. It was a necessity for me to listen to God. It wasn't a luxury. It was a necessity for me to go to meetings. And I think it's important for me to say that they call them, things that don't logs, things that don't really work for me, like 90 meetings in 90 days, using slogans, gratitude lists, them by themselves will work for a little while. But if I just rely on like the vision meeting, if I just rely on, my journaling without other things, I'm going to drown. So it's very important that I use a lot of different things, but God is always constant. And on page 7 in Bill's story, it talks about, self-knowledge will never work. Well, I think that's true. But I think when I came in, I had some knowledge, and I was put in my place. Again, I think I mentioned that earlier. I was put in my place that my credits did not transfer. And I also discovered that my credits don't transfer, and the work that was done yesterday into today's program, that will never change in what I say, because that right sizes me. It puts me where I need to be in my recovery. Because of the different fellowships that I'm in, and especially this one. And actually, I was in another fellowship that actually is probably going to kill me sooner. So I'm grateful for that, because for me, I'm looking at my compulsive eating as a thinking disease. It's what I think, what I think that in my behavior before that precedes the first bite. And I really was able to get more clear on that since I got, married and got sober again. And life is not perfect. I just constantly need to ask God for help and to listen and to call my friends for help, because I know I can't do this alone. I know I need to be in the middle of the herd, or, somewhere in there, because I certainly do not want to stand out. That was never my intent to ever to stand out. It's just how things turned out. I'm trying to think here. I think the biggest important part too, I mean, for somebody that's new, on page 6, Bill's story, he talks about, someone said to him, so why don't you find your own conception of God? So whatever works for you, some people will use, excuse me, a meeting. Some people will use, their dog or their cat or, their sponsor, not as a God, but as a guider through a guidance through the steps. And one thing I wanted to share was I suffer from chronic pain, and I could moan and groan about that. And what I've learned in the past, 3 months where it's kind of peaked for me, is to use it as a prayer. It takes me a little while in the morning to get myself going and do my stretches, but I'm also in prayer. And what I do is very physical too. So I ask God for help, and I use it for lack of a better expression, I try to do it wholly without complaining. Basically, I try to do not just my job, do it with God's grace and without being complaining about it. Because I can say here, probably most of the time when I first got into vision, my 10th step was about someone wasn't following what I wanted them to do. And most of my scripts were a lie. Because somebody calls me with a 10-step and they say, well, they didn't follow my script. Well, that's nice. What is the script? And chances are that script is a lie. And then I ask them, well, when did that script start? And chances are that was a lie too. So I'm really trying to, with God's grace, to take that time in prayer and throughout the day, you know, pause when the pain starts up again, and I just keep going. And what we're getting out of my husband being out of work is we're spending more time in prayer together. And like we did before we got married, and we first got married, then life changed, and we both came very, very busy. And I believe, you know, my other sponsor, you used to tell me when things didn't quite go my way, what is the spiritual message in this, Karen? You know, not that, you know, and I'm seeing it now, that basically the spiritual message is to spend time with God and to slow down and to enrich my relationship with my husband. Instead of looking at it, oh my God, how the bill is going to get paid, how's that going to happen, how's this going to happen, look at it as God's grace. God's grace, God permits things to have happened in my life, and he takes things away, and he brings things back, and to be honest, that's all I really have for today. I know I said 45 minutes, but I think I've said enough. If anybody has a question or wants to share, please feel free to do so, and thank you for allowing me for being a service. Hello, I'm done.
I'm so sorry. I was speaking away and I wasn't unmuted. Karen Kay, thank you so much for your thoughtful and inspiring presentation. We so appreciate your openness, your honesty, and the thoroughness of your share. So many people, I'm sure, are able to identify in very, very many ways. In their own personal experiences. So I want to give you the share ID for today. I don't have it quite yet, so I will be giving that to you a little bit later so that people can tune in and listen again on the recorded line. And then please stay on the line after the recorded portion, because we'll give you how to contact Karen Kay. So we'll now begin the Q&A portion of our meeting. During this time, we request that you keep your question brief to allow others time to ask questions as well. Thank you very much. Who has a question for Karen Kay?
Jennifer C.
Jennifer C.
Kim B.
Kim B.
Ellen A.
Ellen A. Anyone else have a question? Okay, let's get started with Jennifer C., Kim B., and Ellen A. Jennifer, what's your question for Karen?
Hey, good morning, Karen. Thank you so much for your service. I just want to say real quick that you took me through the steps in 2 weeks at one point in my recovery process, and it was one of the most powerful experiences I had with going through the work, and I just want to thank you for that. You forever hold a special place in my heart, Karen K., and Karen's last name has changed since then, but I love you, sister. And you said so much today that was so helpful. Here's my question. What do you do when the thought crosses your mind that eating off your plan in any way is a good idea? What do you do?
Well, first of all, I try not to get in that position when I get in that place. I know what happened to me before is, you know, having the alcoholic ingredients in the house. I didn't ask for enough grace to be protected from the food that was brought in. now I had that grace. I wasn't expecting that because I never had that food in my house before. So I'm referring to my relapse I had with my husband. All of a sudden, these like Doritos were coming in, like, oh, that's nasty. Then before I knew it, thank God it was short lived. But now I just ask for God's grace, and it's not saying, oh, it's not my food, it's not my food. It's simply just God's grace, and that I need to ask for, and to be safe and protected. And that's a very good question.
Thank you.
Okay, Kim B, please share your question.
Hey, did you call me? This is Kim B.
Yes, Kim B, please go ahead.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for your service for both of you today. That was wonderful. Share, Karen, thank you so much. What caught my attention today was when you were sharing about chronic pain. I also have some chronic pain issues. And it's a struggle. So I just would like to know a little bit more how you handle that. I heard the God part of that. Does that affect your food at all or your emotional sobriety, anything like that? I guess I'm just curious because, I'm still trying to grow up emotionally and I don't want my physical pain to make me a grumpy old lady. So if you could share a little bit more about how you deal with chronic pain. Obviously, I mean, food-wise, that's not an issue for me. I eat help me with my inflammation. But, yeah, I just wondered how you deal a little bit more with your chronic pain. Thank you.
Well, I say times, things I must experience. When I start taking my will back, you know, there's some other outside stuff to do, but if you want to take my number at the end of the meeting, I can share more about it. For me, there was a point there where I was walking through, the 7 and 8 o'clock hour meeting on vision and that was a big help. And just asking God for help, but at the same time, I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. It's a precious gift. It's a precious gift. And what I do when I have the pain, I use it as a prayer for someone who may not have insurance. And that I have the ability to eat the anti-inflammatory foods where someone may not, and use it as a prayer. I mean, I cleaned for a living, okay? And that's pain. We're talking carrying a vacuum, three flights of stairs. And there's many serenity prayers that are used during that cycle. And you know, vacuuming and dusting walls, that kind of feels like their walls dusted. And use it as a prayer and pausing between, you know, I don't have to do the whole set of dishes in one standing. I can sit and take a break. I use what I do as an altar without getting too far into it, but you're more than welcome to take my number and I can share some other stuff with you too. And that's, you know, a good question. I think a lot of people suffer from pain and they don't talk about it enough, but I have to be very careful that I don't use it as a grumble and complaining and offer it up as a prayer. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Karen. And before we hear Ellen A's question, I do want to give you the share ID for today's presentation. It is 22938. That's 22938. Also, please stay on the line after the recorded portion of the meeting, and Karen will give her contact information. So, Ellen A., please ask your question, and then we'll take another lineup.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen, for the service of sharing your Strength, Hope, and Experience. You use the term self-centered fear. I'm finding how much fear factors into decisions I make and just, but I haven't heard the term self-centered fear. Can you tell me what that is or expand on that at all?
Self-centered fear is the core of the root of my disease, is self-centered fear. I don't know what pages it's in the big book, but that is the root of all my troubles. It's 100 forms of self-centered fear. So I could, okay, let me see if I can, I'm afraid of what I'm going to have to do to take care of my husband. I am afraid of how am I going to get the housework done. I am afraid how am I going to go do the laundry at the laundromat. I am afraid. I afraid. And before you know it, I'm all lathered up in self-centered fear. I was hoping to try to make that funny. When I hear I this, I that, it's all about me. I'm not much, but it's all I think about, you know. It's usually things that I'm not letting my higher power do and giving me direction. Pause when agitated and doubtful. Look for the next right thought. That's the best I can do on that one.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much. Okay, now we'll take another lineup. Who else has a question for Karen K?
Denise P, Pittsburgh.
Denise P. Star one to unmute if you'd like to ask a question. Well, why don't you go ahead, Denise P., and we'll take more questions after Denise.
Thank you so much. What a gift to hear you, Elaine, in the seat of moderating. And I'm delighted and I'm humored as well with this about what step are you on. And I've heard myself say that. And then I will follow with another question. I'd like to know your thoughts. And so I know that my fear that is centered, by the way, it's not a God fear. And there's an awing fear that I do have a God that's above any of my fears. And he allows me to do that. But I would say to people, and I loved how you said, this is what I used to say to people. It wasn't my experience. what's some of your thoughts on if the step you're on is not working, then go back to the step before it. Because if 1, 2, 3, and 4 or 5, and I'm slipping on 6, then letting people think about, oh, wait, something started messing up on step 6. I'd like your thoughts about that, that it spawns, I don't know if you've ever used that, but about go back to the step that was working for you. Then find that helps you find what step you're on. If you have to, step back. That's my question.
That's a good question. Well, they're all good questions. Some people like to do the 1, 2, 3, the 1, 2, 3, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And everybody's different. And I encourage people to continue moving forward. Because the whole idea is working the steps is to incorporate them in my life and in the person's life, but to get out there to helping others. Because if I'm getting caught up in steps, and, you know, some of the people I've worked with and within myself try to arrive at this perfection of step work. And it's a life process. I'm going to be working the steps, redoing them over and over. Maybe not, you know, every week or every month. But it's The only thing I can say about step five, there's a part at step five, there's an hour that I take and ask, did I omit anything? Now, the only thing of going back on that was, on that particular step, was I dishonest? Are all my pieces in place? Am I ready to face the world? You know, and I wasn't honest about it, or I didn't share everything. Then I would say it's time to go back, you know, to go back to perhaps maybe three, get a better relationship with God, or a power of their own understanding. Some form of emotional dishonesty. I don't think people purposely go through the steps and I'll find a problem at step six. And with the help of a good sponsor or spiritual director, can help them see the truth. This is a disease that thrives on dishonesty. It's right. It would prefer to, you know, it'd prefer to have me dead, but it'll settle for me being miserable as hell. So that's the only way about the step before, because, I mean, there's people I've worked with that we could still be on step three. The whole idea is to keep moving forward, keep moving forward. It's like a case in, say somebody slipped, okay? Well, I call that sobriety lost its priority. Okay, say they had, I don't know, a half a banana that wasn't on their meal plan. Well, we can certainly talk about it, but I'm not going to be the person that tells them they have to go back to step one. I don't have that power. I don't have that control. I don't want to be that person anymore. You know, it's not about the food. It never was about the food. So there's no need to go back, depending on if they, you know, went out for like, you know, like 6 months or whatever. But with something small and they become honest about it, then they just keep moving forward. So it's about honesty here on steps four and five. I hope that helps.
Thank you so much for your question, Denise P. We have time for some more questions. We have time for some more questions for Denise. Who else would have a question for her?
Joy MB, California.
Joy MB. Anybody else after Joy? I'm going to ask a question. Do you...
Georgina, California.
Georgina in California. Anybody else have a question?
Nancy L.
Nancy L. Anybody else in this lineup? Okay. Joy M., what is your question? Star one to unmute. Joy M. I thought you heard a Joy M. Okay, well, we can come back. And we have Georgina.
Joy MB of California.
Oh, there we go. Joy MB, please share your question with us. Thank you so much.
Well, first of all, thank you so much this morning. It was so honest of you.
If you're not Joy MB or Karen, please press star one to mute your phone. We're getting a little background noise. Okay? Thank you so much. Please go ahead, Joy. And you may need to press star one to unmute again, Joy, please.
Thank you so much this morning for the honesty and the forthworthiness that you come. You hit me just when I needed it, because I'm going through step six and seven and I'm stumbling, and I put the paper down and I didn't want to go any further. But when I heard you this morning, I understood that perhaps it is that we all stumble and I need to keep moving forward. And what I was wondering if the lesson that I'm coming to is that your answers change. You may go through the steps more than once, many times, and your answers can change. But the idea is to get it done, to get it done, to get your survey of yourself done. Am I correct? Thank you for your answer.
It's definitely important to work through the process, because what was in my step work, you know, the first time I went around, and the work that I just completed a couple of weeks ago, you know, is completely different. There's always the core values of the core, you know, stuff that's in 6 and 7. But, you know, I just look at those defects in 6 and 7 are gifts from God that just been abused, and ask my higher power to really help me just to do better each day and each moment. But the whole idea of this whole 12-step stuff is to really get out there and get out of self and help other people. So I'm saying yes.
Thank you so much, Joy and B, for the question. Okay, Georgina had a question for you. Please.
Yes.
Share your
question. Yes, good morning. Good morning. My question is this, and I appreciate your share and your service, but my question is this. When did you know, I'm not anywhere near being ready, but when did you know you were ready to sponsor somebody?
Step 5. After I did step 5, I remember going to bed that night thinking, there's a lot of people out there that need help, but I'm not at a place where I can do it right now. So, I mean, I didn't have a computer when I was first got on Vision. I think it was like maybe like 6 months in, I got a laptop. And so my sponsor had to mail the sheets to me, mail all the stuff to me. And we talked on the phone. And I'm sure she did many, many 10 steps about me, because I got the homework done. Please, please mail the next thing. Done. Please mail me the next thing. Done. And because it was important to get out of self. So the turning point for me was step 5, but it was important for me to know how to do a 10-step and to be of service to others. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. I do want to let everybody know that we do have the share ID for today's beautiful presentation, and that is 22938. That's 22938. And remember to stay on the line after the recorded meeting, and Karen Kay will give her contact information. We have time for more shares. Nancy L. is up next, and then we'll take another lineup. Please ask your question, Nancy. And if you're not Nancy, please press *1 to unmute. To mute.
Oh, thank you so much, moderator, and thank you, Karen. Wow. I got in about 15 minutes ago, but I can't hardly wait to hear the recording. How do you stay in the day if you start to feel that temptation to get into the cares of tomorrow? How do you stay in the day? Thank you.
One external thing I do is when I'm home, I burn candles. I know that might sound kind of silly. There's something about a flicker of a candle that allows me to be in now. I believe I said earlier in the talk, maybe you'll hear it later, is I'll literally say to myself, Karen, keep your head where your feet are. My God is already in later. My God is in now, and my God is going to be able to take care of what's coming later. I don't need to know that now. Like, for instance, with my husband, it's very, very, for me, it's scary, but God's got that. God doesn't need my help. there's been times where things, and who knows, I might need to do it, is, you know, my dearest Karen, I will not be needing your help today. Love, God. And that helps me stay in now.
That's great. Thank you so much. Who else would like to ask a question of Karen Kay? It's a great opportunity. Star 1 to unmute. We'd love to take a lineup.
Elena C.
Elena C. Who else has a question? I have a question. Once somebody has gone through the steps, what does your relationship with that sponsee look like?
Actually, what we do, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, and then we'll find out Elena C's question, and we'll take another lineup, okay?
Okay. Actually, it's really up to the person that I'm working with. I'm more than happy to meet with a person like once a week. Sometimes we get into reading other stuff. We may go through the 12 and 12. When I was initially sponsoring, it turned into, you know, as needed. But now it's like there's like four of them that we continually talk, but there's really never no assigned time because of my schedule too. But I leave it to the person that I'm working with, because that relationship can be whatever it wants to be. Because I don't believe in saying, well, you're done, you're one and done, you're over with, you know, good luck. You know, it's important to leave the door open.
Thank you so much. Elena, please share your question.
Did you call my name? Elena,
yes.
She's here. Sorry, I was unmuted. Well, probably call my name. Well, thank you to both of you, but also Karen, thank you so much for your genuine, for your authenticity. And I want to clarify, did I hear you correctly that you're sponsoring people at step 5 or that you're ready to sponsor? That's one question. And another question is, what do you do when there's, in case of anxiety, and when there's fear repeat themselves over and over and over again, and they don't go away? It's just they come every day.
Well, the first question is yes, I do start out at step 10. That was probably after about a year in vision. I had taken.
No, my question was, do you start? I'm sorry. My question was, do you start? Am I hearing you correctly that you start sponsoring people when you're at step 5, or you are ready to sponsor people when you're at step 5?
No. The question was, when did I feel like I felt like I wanted to sponsor? The experience I had at step 5, but I needed to get to step 1 before I could sponsor. I had a spiritual awakening at step 5, but I had to go through 6 to 12 before I could sponsor.
Okay, gotcha.
And what was
the other question, Karen, was what do you do when you have fears that repeat themselves every day that are not removed as easily?
I have continued to pray. I continue to pray. I try to get out of myself so I'm not thinking about my own fears. And sometimes if the anxiety is that intense, you know, there may be a need for outside help. It just depends on the person.
Thank you very much. Who else has a question for Karen Kay? Star 1 to unmute, please. Any other questions?
Hi, this is Beth S. from California.
Beth S. Anybody else?
Nancy O. from Ohio.
Nancy O. Anybody else?
This is Joan from New Jersey.
Joan from New Jersey? Okay. Well, let's take these three and see if we have time. Oh, we'll definitely have time for more. So, Beth F., please share with us. You're followed by Nancy O.
Good morning. This is Beth F., a compulsive overeater from California. And, Karen, I don't really have a question. I just wanted to tell you what a joy it has been to listen to you and listen to you answer the other questions, which are questions that have been answered for me as well. And so I just appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. And I'll pass.
Sure. Thanks, Beth F. Nancy O., please share your question.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Elaine and Karen. Question, Beth, and Karen, I'm sorry. I believe you touched on this. As I'm a caregiver of a spouse, how do you find balance in recovery and life and being there for your spouse? And that's my question. I'll mute. Thank you.
For me, you know, it's only like day four, so I'm a work in progress. I mean, hopefully he'll be able to be on his foot on the 21st. But I have the privilege of having my own meditation area to start my day with. That needs to come first. And then, you know, I look at my calendar for the week. I try to keep these past 4 days, I've been trying to keep my schedule as normal as possible. I mean, there are other things that we used to do together, like laundry, food shopping, and stuff like that we used to do together. So now those things are on my own. But it's important for me to get to Mass, pray, listen for the next right thought, doing outreach, you know, being the mediator between me and the family, and then just, you know, have him take the calls for his side of the family. And just, you know, it's kind of like, you know, after I did the fifth step, like, what is the ideal wife? You know, and it was funny because I needed to get something blessed after Mass, and the priest said to me, "Now, don't you go crazy, Karen," he goes. And so it's important that I take care of Karen, because if I don't take care of myself, there's going to be nothing for nobody. It's like when I'm done with this, I'm probably going to take a nap and then get up and get ready to start my Sunday. So I can start my day over. And that's another thing, I can start my day over anytime. I never have a bad day. I might have some uncomfortable moments. Because when someone tells me they have a bad day, I like to have a conversation about that, because there may have just been some moments that just didn't feel very good. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Nancy O. Great question. Okay, Joanne in New Jersey, please give us your question. Star one to unmute.
Thank you, Elaine. Hi, Karen. Thank you for your talk. I agree and felt your authenticity, which really speaks to my heart. So I have a question about grief. I've spent many years in the whole self-pity thing, but I found this time going through the steps, I'm experiencing, it's hard to even say without emotion, a deep grief. Was there ever a time in your recovery where you encountered this? And because this is the point where I find I run. I avoid, I run. So I was just curious if you had this experience and how you got through it. And, you know, and did you always trust your higher power so deeply? Thank you.
Well, first of all, I never, there's been times that I call it the darkness of the soul, where I did not, there was total absence of God. I didn't feel God. But at the same time, I knew that there was a God. It's just, I wasn't like feeling it. And I have a loving God that knows that and that can handle that. Well, you know, fear is, and grief and that fear is always wanting to run. You know, I believe, I don't want to speak for everybody. I think all of us have experienced some of that. And that's the part of going around. So there've been some times where I've gone around, but in that turn, in that bending, is where the 10 steps come in, or where the prayers come in. I'm kind of coming up blank, but I do know that I have had fear. But I know, see, if I run, one thing I do know, I want to talk about what I do know. What I do know, if I have fear and I run, it's going to kick me in the ass later. Whether it's with my thinking, whether it's with food, whether it's I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings or I'm going to hurt myself. So it's important to, if I feel like that grief and that fear is coming, to go into prayer and let's at least have that network of at least five. I don't believe in having a God squad of 35 people that are going to know my personal business. I used to think that was true, but have those really trustworthy people. They're all, you know, they're going to let you down, but your God won't. Even in that darkness of the soul, God is still there. Because I was still able to, you know, to share with God. I just didn't have that ever-ending presence that I have today. So I haven't had that experience in a very, very long time. But I understand it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Great
Thank
questions.
You.
Yeah. Okay, we do have time for more questions. If you have a question for Karen K, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name. We'll take another lineup.
Kiana in Ohio.
Kiana.
Patty F in Massachusetts.
Patty F. Anybody else? Great opportunity here.
Rosie F from California.
Rosie F. Okay, so we've got Kiana in Ohio, Patty F, and Rosie F. So Kiana, please share your question with us.
Hi, my name is Kiana. I'm in Ohio, and my question for you, Karen, thank you for your service. You talked about having a change and having some humility, and earlier on there was pride with, you know, having the pin of who all you're sponsoring across the world and all of that. And so my question to you is, what was the thing that kind of took that pride away, where you kind of approached things in humility? And then just the other part, not only did you share about the humility, but that you want to hear other people's voices. And so my question is, what led you to this humility and away from the pride? Thank you.
I really felt for myself that it was a nudge from God, a nudge from, not really verbally, but just a gut feeling I had that, you know, even like within the first 2 years on Vision, the membership started to increase. Because the announcement, we have now have 10,000 members. We got 11,000 members. And I'm like, wow, that's a lot of hearts beating on this meeting. And there needs to be somebody else than me, because it's kind of like, I hate to use an example, it's kind of like, let me see if I can rephrase this right. It's kind of like the same people doing the same service. Whether it be church, whether it be at work, whether it be whatever, or the community garage sale, You know, it's the same people doing it. And it's important that if I hear the same people, I'm not going to feel confident enough to do it. So I look at that also with the people that probably are so afraid of hitting star one that if there's enough gap in time that they can hear star one and you know, perhaps that's why they have the unrecorded hour. I don't know. But there's so many voices on this meeting that are just not being heard. And I just said, I took a step back. I said, there's more for me to learn from. I need to become teachable for new voices. And also learn from the ones I always share. But I'm just saying it's really important for me to learn. I get very excited when someone says, this is my first time sharing. When it has all my interest, I'm listening. It takes a lot of courage to do that first, star one. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you so much. Patty F., you're up next for your question, followed by Rosie F.
Hi, this is Patty F. in Massachusetts. I have a question about meditation time, whether you feel it's necessary to get up a half hour early or before the meeting, if I have trouble getting up, if it's okay to do it later, after the 8 o'clock meeting or the 7 o'clock meeting. I was just wondering what you thought.
Well, I've been trying to do something different now. Well, most of my customers are really early in the morning. But the busier, let's say I'm just going to throw this out there. Say I meditate 20 minutes a day. The more busier I am, I need to double it. I'm not always able to get on the meeting at 7. Sometimes I'm on the non-recorded, and I'm able to share. And sometimes I'm just not able to because it's not private. But one thing I can say is my average time, we'll just say, is 20 minutes. The busier I get, the more meditation time that is necessary. I know that sounds crazy, but that's what I've been guided to do. The busier I am, the more prayer I need to do. So whatever it's before the meeting or after the meeting or whatever, there was a time that I would get on the meeting first. I was very loyal, proud of the first 3 or 4 years and being on both meetings and, you know, walking and whatnot, and then doing my prayer later. But, you know, God gives me 24 hours to breathe. At least I owe my God something. I'm not like owe him, but I mean, he gives me life. So it's important to put that relationship in there somewhere and throughout my day too. You know, I can't just get a dose of God in the morning and not do anything later. So I hope that helps.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Patty, for your question and Karen for your answer. Rosie asked, please share your question.
Oh, thank you so much for moderating, Lane. And thank you so much, Karen, for your wonderful presentation. My question is, when you say credits don't transfer, me who works two programs, and sometimes I wonder if I need three, how does that look like when you're working two programs, and how are you able to navigate that?
Actually, one time, but I decided that stop the third one. I was doing three programs. And what I've learned, I can actually, with God's grace, through the big book of AA, it can take care of all addictions. I thought at one time it was very different. But the big book of AA is my basic text of life. Yeah, there's some differences between each program. Sure, there is. It just, you know, if I can get to a different meeting, I will. But the big thing is I can't take the spiritual awareness that I've received in other programs and transfer it into OA. And also, it's really important to know the work that was done Saturday in OA cannot be transferred into today. Today is a new day for a new experience. Because I personally can't, I tried it and it was too much. And I found that I have connection with people in other fellowships, and that takes care of it for me. I think Bill and Bob knew what they were doing, or that maybe they didn't know what they were doing, but it was definitely God-inspired, I believe, for all addictions. Otherwise, the other programs would not use it. They all use the text. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much for your question, Rosie. We do have time for more questions, and what a great opportunity to get experience, strength, and hope with somebody who has so many years of recovery. So please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name if you have a question for Karen K.
Margaret D., Georgia.
Margaret D. Anybody else?
Margaret O. in Connecticut.
All right, Margaret, Margaret. I'm glad you have different last names and states. All right. Anybody else have a question? Okay, we'll take the two Margarets. Margaret D. in Georgia, would you please ask your question?
Sure, thank you. Karen, first of all, thank you. Thank you for being you. Absolutely. Just a quick question. When I think there's a difference between taking somebody through the steps and taking somebody through the big book. When you take somebody through the steps, do you stop at like page 164, or do you continue through with the family afterward and, you know, two employers up until, well, actually that is before 164. Do you do those other chapters? And if you don't, why? Thanks.
It depends on the person. I believe that they're all really good chapters to read. And it depends on, I've had people that have gone to 164 and they put their name out and they got three sponsees. And basically our relationship is consisting of, you know, asking questions about the people that they are working with. Sometimes it's just a matter of time and where the person's at. Because they can be quite lengthy, and if we go too far into those other chapters, it's taking away from them being of service to others. The whole idea is to get them to be their pimp for God, in other words, and have them find their God and get out there and start helping others. And if they're starting to help others, then we can go further. It's been a rarity that we've gone further, because then they end up helping other people, or we're meeting once a week talking about something else or reading another book or whatever. And it just depends. No pun intended. I'm like a tossed salad. Whatever works, wherever the lettuce ends, that's what we do.
Amen.
Thanks so much for your question, Margaret D. Margaret O., please share your question.
Hi, this is Margaret O. from Connecticut. Thank you, Karen, for your talk. I didn't hear much of it. I was out and just came back a little after 9. But just hearing all this, and thanks, Elaine, for your service. Just hearing the answers to all the questions, I just feel like I could just put this question out to you, which is kind of a personal question. You know how you can be in a room full of people and feel like you're all by yourself? How do you let people in? Like you have your five-person God squad, you know, but, you know, you call them and, yeah, they know something about you, but, you know, how do you establish, like, a connection with people? That's where I struggle. Thank you.
And I still do. I think that's something that is part of the disease and or just part of being human, that it's important to practice, you know, I just pick up the phone and say, I'm practicing. I was taught that early on when I was 23. Just pick up the phone and say that you're practicing. And, you know, I think, please excuse my expression, outreach, people seem to make it like they're pole vaulting over fly shit. Okay, but outreach could be just as simple as, you know, oh, my dear, the snow in Syracuse is outstanding. I cannot believe we got 12 inches of snow overnight. And I'm talking to somebody in Florida, and they're telling me how sunny it is there. Or I could talk to someone in Buffalo who's got more than we have. It can be that simple. Or talking about, you know, I know a couple people are going to a retreat this weekend in Canada. I'm looking forward to one of them. She's coming home. And I'm looking forward to hearing about how the retreat went for her. Now, it's taken time to get to know her, but I really don't know all of her, but I do know that she's having that experience. She may need a day, you know, to kind of get back into the real world right after retreat. It doesn't have to be a big event to make a phone call, but it's important to practice. And sometimes it's like, how are you doing? You know, or, you know, something to bring to the table, you know, something simple. It doesn't have to be this big thing. And then the conversation just flows. It just flows. Now, in person, you know, feeling like I'm the only one in the room, that's lessened over time, but not so much with the phone. Which, you know, when I go to face-to-face meetings, you know, I remember when I first came in into program, it was very difficult for me to build up the strength to make a conversation. The phone is easier, and it is okay to say, I'm just practicing, and that person will probably laugh and say, you know, I did that too. So I hope that helps.
Thank you so much, Margaret O, for your question. We have time for maybe two more questions. So if you have a question for Karen K, please press star one to unmute.
Risky M.
And, who was that again?
Risky M.
Risky M. And one
mm-hmm.
more. Anybody else want to ask a question? Go ahead, Risky, and if we have time, we'll ask for someone else.
Okay, thank you so much. My question is similar to what Margaret just asked, but I don't have a problem picking up the phone to fellow and just outreaching. I'm struggling more in my relationship with myself, like to open up to him and tell him like what's bothering me. And then that keeps me very isolated, and I find myself overeating over my Espinous food, and I feel like it's a cycle of like I'm feeling good with myself and shutting down even more. And yeah, I'm now on step 3 and 4 for the first time. And it's a lot is coming up in this chapter. So a lot of buildup of emotions, and when you don't have the food to cover up for, like you just feel those feelings, and it's brutal. So any chance I hope you can share would be appreciated. Thank you so much.
I think I heard your question. I give you, a kudos for doing a share on the meeting. That's always a good that's always a good start. Compulsive eating is compulsive eating, whether it's abstinent food or not. The whole idea is it's great to pick up the phone with people, and sometimes people need to bookend their meetings, but bookend their food plan, their meals before and after in the very beginning. It's always important to, if you can Google, if you have a computer, even on your phone, two-way prayer. There's many ways to do it. You can do it with a Zoom meeting. You can do it by yourself with God and say, yo, God, what's going on here? I want to eat and it's not giving me the effect. Can you please help me? Now, you may have to do that for 2 weeks, but that's okay. You're trying, and just keep trying. And you're more than welcome to take my number and just say, I'm trying, because eventually what's going to happen is the food's not going to work. It's not going to work anymore. And I used to justify myself, I had 3/4 cup of peas and so that's not that bad. I literally measured it. That's a relapse or a slip or whatever. So I have to get real honest with myself, and I'm definitely not perfect. I have to get real honest with myself and the people I talk to so they know where I'm at. And you just did it now. And you can develop those people. They got the membership list now is over, over 13,000. There's lots of OA meetings online. There's lots of ways to get numbers to reach out. But the ultimate, and with over time, I'm just trying to say over time, that relationship is going to need to come from God, because I'm going to let you down. I'm not going to pick up my phone for whatever reason, and other people, and eventually I want to have that relationship with my God, with my understanding, to help me not do A, B, and C, not just with the food or behave in a certain way. So just continue to pray and continue to reach out, and I wish you peace. Thank you.
Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you, everybody. So really experience your, really appreciate your experience, strength, and hope. And I'm going to close out the meeting, reading page 164 in the big book. Oops, hang on a second. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you and